Mrs. Fling, Ms. Alma Hunt, ladies of the Woman's Missionary Union, thank you for this hour in my life that I stand before you. I feel 10 feet tall in this moment. In fact, I feel just like my father said I was. When I received the invitation from you to speak in this hour, I said to my father up in Turtle Creek, Pennsylvania, and by the way, my father is living now in Italy. And I said to my father, I said, Pap, guess what? I said, your son has been invited to speak at the Woman's Missionary Union, their convention meeting in Dallas, Texas. Isn't that something? And two, I'll be speaking to several thousand people in that hour. My father looked up at me and says, Adamanda says, you a big a shot, so don't you? And there's one thing that I must share with you before the message. You know, with language people, until they're converted and brought into the Baptist work, they know nothing of Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong and the offerings. While I was in Tampa, we started the first, the only Spanish-speaking work that we have there at the Armenia Baptist Church. And our Spanish-speaking pastor is Eusebio Valdez. He came from an independent work. He knew nothing of our work. And so there is where he is serving today. Dr. Preston Sellers of the First Baptist Church asked me to speak in his services one Wednesday night. I said, Dr. Sellers, I can't do that. I said, I'll be in Atlanta at that time. But I said, I'll tell you there's something I can do. I'll send you our Spanish-speaking pastor down. How will that be? He said, why, that would be fine. And you tell him that I want him to speak on home missions and the Annie Armstrong offering. Well, Brother Valdez knew nothing of Annie Armstrong and the Annie Armstrong offering, knew very little of home missions. Well, I called this preacher. I told him of the wonderful opportunity, and then I told him the subject that he was to speak on. I said, now, Chico, I'll teach you all that I know concerning home missions and the Annie Armstrong offering. And for 3 weeks, every day, it was home missions, Annie Armstrong offering. Annie Armstrong, when she was born, when she was converted. And this went on for 3 weeks. And the day before he's to speak at the First Baptist Church in Tampa, he calls me up and says, Armando Chico. And I said, yes, Chico. He says, you're going to be real proud of me tomorrow night when I'm speaking at First Baptist Church. I said, I'm always proud of you. Oh, he says, but tomorrow night, said, you're going to be real proud. He says, because I'm going to get up in the pulpit and told to those people, just like you told to me. He says, but there's one thing I'm going to find out. And I said, what's that, Chico? He said, what's the name of this guy I'm supposed to push? One God, one faith, one birth. I only know one God. It's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of John the Baptist, the God of Paul, the God of my salvation. It's the only God. He's the only God that I know in this hour. I know of only one faith. It's faith in God through Christ, the Christian faith, the one taught in the New Testament. I only know one birth, the new birth. I'm a new creation in Christ. And as a result of this redhead sitting here in the third row, if it hadn't been for her testimony, I would not know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, as a recipient of the new birth, as the recipient, I must also be an agent. I must tell the story of Jesus Christ wherever I go. And I'm so happy today that Southern Baptist, after our conversion, reached down and asked me to serve among the Italian people. And I can go to my people with the gospel, the word of God, the good news of God, and tell them of Jesus Christ, his son, and the death died for them. For my people have a form of religion, but they deny the power thereof. Their religion is that of bondage and fear, obedience to the priesthood. But praise God, we can go now to them with the gospel that we have heard. Let them hear the gospel, and to let them be born again. You know, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is so true. And let me say this concerning your home mission board. Their whole outlook in home missions is, wow, world missions, and they're concerned about winning the world to Christ, beginning here at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the very bounds of the earth. Now, much of the world has moved into the country where we live, and we have many, many non-English speaking peoples here in the United States of America. I think the number is over 30 million non-English speaking peoples here in the United States. And I'm proud to say to you that we have over 1,000 non-English speaking Southern Baptist congregations here in the United States hearing the gospel in their own tongue. We heard from this man concerning his ministry. So we see the Navajos in their own capacities hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. With my ministry, it's the Italian people. Oh, and I'm so glad that Dr. Corder and Gerald Palmer and Dr. Redford and Dr. Rutledge and all of these concerned men chose that we should witness to the Italian people. They have every right to hear the gospel. Their names need to be written down in the books of life. And the only hope for them is Jesus Christ, God's Son. Oh, the day I went to Tampa as pastor of the Armenia Baptist Church, what it meant for me in that hour to go to my people. I knew their language. I knew their customs. I knew their background. I knew their fears, their superstitions. And that I could go into that community in a church that you provided some $85,000 that you provided for them. And this church strategically located amongst the Latin people of Tampa. And there I stood as your pastor serving you and preaching the gospel to the Latin people of that area. And that little church in this day is doing a tremendous ministry to win people to the knowledge of salvation. They work through their kindergarten, through their preaching of funerals. In fact, Billy Bird, the pastor of the church, called me not long ago and said, "Brother Silverio, you can call me Barry and Sam from now on." It means this: over 70% of my people in Tampa are buried without the services of a priest or a preacher. It's the saddest thing in the hour of death when at 4 o'clock the undertaker in the funeral home, when 4 o'clock comes and things are done there by custom, he comes and he has the family come for the last look. There's not a priest there. There's not a preacher to stand and read the gospel. There's no one but the undertaker. And then to see that family come to that casket and to watch them, many times I've seen this, my wife has seen this, how that they've reached down and took hold of the body of the one dead and literally pull him or her halfway out of the casket. Why? Because they know not the Lord. They know not the Jesus. They know not the plan of salvation that we know. They don't have any hope beyond the grave. And so in this hour they feel it's the end and this is all. And so they're trying for dear old life to hold on to that one just as long as they can. I've watched girls and I've watched sons come up from after taking hold of their mother, lipstick all over their faces from that loved one, simply because they couldn't sit as you and I in that time. We can sit in the hour of death and know that death is not real, for it's just the passing from the stage of earthly living to go to be with the Lord. People say, "What does missions really mean to you, Silverio?" Well, I'll tell you what it means to me. Not long ago, I stood by my mother's grave in East McKeesport, Pennsylvania. My mother hadn't walked in almost 30 years. I stood by that grave, and as I stood looking down, my mind had to come back to that time in 1943 when my wife told me about Christ. I had to come back to Southern Baptist for my mother, whose body was laid to the dust of the earth, will one day, that body will one day be resurrected. She's already gone to be with the Lord. What does missions mean to me? It means my mother has gone to be with the Lord. My father, who I will never see alive unless he lives quite some time, in Italy. I may never see him alive again. His name has been written down. My sister Mary, born in Italy, born again, baptized believer. My sister Rose, same thing. My brother Richard, same thing. What does missions mean to me? It means everything in the world, because my family has found the Christ of God and life eternal. And when death reaches down for them, they'll go to be with the Lord. Now, some 3 billion people living in this world, living round about us. And the Bible says that God is not willing, this God, one God, is not willing that any one of them should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I look in the Armenia Baptist Church and I go around that congregation and I see men and women. If it had not been for your ministry, your Christ-like compassion, your missionary heart, they would have never heard about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, I see these people worshiping God in their own capacities. And I see them worshiping in a building, in a house dedicated to God, worshiping together. You take them in the First Baptist Church, into the First Baptist Church of Tampa, and they'll sit there just like this. They're not at home. But boy, you bring them into a little mission that is known for an Italian work for Latin people, and they're so happy in the Lord. Why? For they together, along with you, make up what is known today as the Southern Baptist Convention. And we have the greatest program in all the world. If it wasn't for your program, where would I be in this hour? If it wasn't for someone telling you about Jesus as Lord and Savior, where would you be in this hour? And I'm so glad to say in this moment that not only do I stand here amongst the ladies of the Women's Missionary Union, but I'm standing beside 4,460 missionaries in some 56 different countries and in every state of the Union. And I say that with pride, because I know for a fact that the world in which we live and the country in which we live, it passes before our leaders day by day, from the associational level to the state level and then up to the home mission board and the foreign mission board, how this world passes before them day by day and the needs of the world, and then as a result of us as individuals coming together in the local church, making up the body of believers, bringing in the tithe and giving through the cooperative program, these men and women can look around the world, pray intelligently, Lord, where wilt thou have us to go? And then the Holy Spirit comes and it leads in this work. Just think, right now, 4,460 missionaries, you're sitting by them in all these different countries and every state of the Union. And every man has the right to hear the gospel. And as Gerald Palmer and Dr. Corder has told me many, many times, every man has the right to hear the gospel in the language of his heart. And when you speak the language of one's heart, he's going to listen. He may not always accept, but he'll hear the message that you have for him. I see people like Mrs. Linjati in the Armenia Baptist Church, 89 years young, can't read nor write. And I see that woman walking into that church. I see her in all of her poverty, but I also see her in her happiness. Why? She's a born-again, baptized believer. Soon death will call and she'll go to be with the Lord. And her name has been written down because men like Dr. Plainfield, Giuseppe Piani, men like Brother York, men like Antonio Romano and Giuseppe Papillo, your home missionaries, went down into that city and they ministered to these people. And today they have life eternal. What a day that will be when all of these that you've never seen will be around the same throne that you'll sit around one day. You know, in our work, many times it breaks your heart. Many times things happen within the church that sort of keeps you in stitches. One week I want to resign, and The next week, an act of Congress couldn't get me away from the work because of some of the things that happened. And I think while we have a few minutes, I want to share a couple of things with you that are on the humorous side, and then we'll get back down here to that side where our hearts need to be broken. I told the girls back here how that I received a telephone call one night from one of the men in the church that his daughter gave birth to a premature baby. The telephone rang. I answered it. The operator said, "I have a long distance call for Dr. Armando Silverio." I said, "This is he." She said, go ahead, please. And on the other end of the line, one of my men says, "Hello, preach." And I called out his name and I said, "Yes, where are you at?" He says, "I'm up in Orlando." And he says, "Guess what?" And I said, "What?" He says, "I'm a grandpapa now." I said, "You are? I didn't even know your daughter was expecting." He said, "Oh, yes, she's to have one of those pre-amateur babies." One of my men came to me, Dr. John McGuire, that's sitting right here, knows him very well. He says to me one day, he says, "Hey, preach," he says, "we don't take enough money in our church." I said, "I know it, and one of the reasons we don't take enough money in our church is you." I said, "You don't give enough." He says, "Well, I'm going to give it $2 a week." I said, "Yes, I know that, but you're not a tither. A tithe is 1/10 of your income, and I know you make more than $20 a week." And he says to me, "Oh," he says, "you're thinking I'm a got of money, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I know you've got money." He says, "Yes," he says, "I'm a got of money," he says, "but all of my monies are tied up in debts." Only someone like Johnny could tell that. Now, getting real serious. Now, this is my people. My mother, my father, when they came to this country, they brought their children, their fears, their customs, their superstitions, and they came to this new land, and they stayed with the same religion that they had in Italy. The first time a Bible was ever seen in Leto Palena, in the Provincia Chieti in Abruzzi, was the Italian Bible that Jim Hester gave to me that I took into that village. And they just about died when I showed them the Bible. For they said to me, "Armand, no, no, we can't look on this book. It's sacred, and only the priest have the right to open this book and to read from it." That little village has been there 1,100 and some years. I wonder how many of them have been born again. The Bible says, "Preach the gospel to every creature." Jesus said with his own blessed lips, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life," and hear me, in that he says very emphatically, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." My folks came, others came, and isn't it wonderful that Southern Baptists have the compassionate heart, the heart of concern that says, "We'll not be satisfied until every minority group in this country, and then we'll not be satisfied until every country hears the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." I've stood many, many days by the casket of one who knew not Christ. I watched his family. I watched them as we read from the scriptures, and then as we brought her message, I saw them as they sat like this, for hearing the gospel for the first time in their life. And then I hear them as they call my wife, and she answers the phone and says, "Hello." They'll say, "What time does the Father Silverio conduct the Mass on Sunday morning?" This is their first start toward entering the doors of a church that preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I see them as they walk in. There aren't any statues. There's just a plain building, and that's all. And they come in and they hear the choir sing the doxology, and they hear the congregation as they sing, and then the preacher makes a few announcements and introduces the visitors. And when I introduce the visitors, oh, I put on a real show when I'm in Italian work, because they've never had public recognition. And so in that moment, I give them plenty of it. And then when the service is over, how that they'll take me by the hand and says, I'm enjoying your talk a lot, sir. I'm going to come back someday. Just a few days ago, I stood with Pastor Billy Bird as he introduced me to Mrs. Gonzalez, who is now working as one of the helpers in the kindergarten. Just 8 weeks ago, that woman was just as lost could be. She had a desire in her heart for to be at peace with the Lord, and she couldn't find that peace. But then, you see, you gave her an opportunity through your kindergarten ministry to bring her child, enroll him. Your pastor goes to the home, he gives a witness, and Mrs. Gonzalez made the greatest discovery of her life. Oh, it wasn't long till the ministers of the other denomination came to her, but so great was that conversion that it wasn't shaken. And she said to me the other day, she said, oh, she says, I wouldn't take 10 million worlds for the conversion that God gave me through the ministry of this church. You see, her name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Go into all the world, the Bible says, and preach the gospel. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You're in the kingdom of God as a recipient. You must also be in this kingdom as an agent. You're not of your own. You've been bought with a price. And so to you and me comes the call of service, and we're to be servants of our Lord. And no master ought to have a more willing slave than Jesus Christ. We're not ours by any right of purchase. We're His by every right of purchase. And so to you and me comes the responsibility of preaching the gospel in all the world. Can't you hear Jesus just before He left this earth speaking to that little body of believers? He says to them, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then the very bounds of the earth. Very bounds of the earth. Now listen, there are many organizations in this world that can take care of the needs of suffering humanity from the physical standpoint. But only the New Testament church can reach out with arms of love and call all peoples my brothers and my sisters in Christ, beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then it reaches out to the very bounds of the earth. This is the message for this hour. One God, what does He say? Preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One faith, what does it tell me? It tells me to be New Testament in all that I do in the preaching of the gospel. And then, as I say again for the third time, as a recipient, I owe a debt of gratitude, a debt of service. I have life eternal, and I believe in the sight of God I would be more guilty than a rapist if I tell not the story of Jesus to one who knows not the story of Christ, and let him die and enter into a Christless eternity. You want to see the world through the eyes of Jesus? Go into the ninth chapter of Matthew. And when you do, you look right through the eyes of Jesus, and you see the people as they're scattered, as sheep without a shepherd. You see them fainting by the wayside. You see their destiny in hell. You see their hunger, their fear. And then all of a sudden, sitting round about them is the love of God through Jesus. And Jesus reaches out and He tells us that whosoever shall confess Me before men, I'll confess him before the Father. You know, in closing, that if thou shalt confess with all thy mouth, there's our message to tell the Lord Jesus Christ, and to tell others to believe in their heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, they shall be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And again, as we close, Miss Fling, Miss Hunt, and all of you, thanks a million for the greatest privilege that I've had in the ministry.